Welcome to Bible Fellowship Assembly Sunday Morning Messages. My name is Ted Bendel, and today it was my privilege to continue our series of messages from the lives of some of the kings of Judah, today looking at Uzziah and Jotham. Let's get started.
Well, thank you, team. The rest of you, if you've been paying attention to the words of those songs, you will have the conclusion to what I want to share with you this morning. Before we begin, let's pray. Father, we do thank you. Thank you for the privilege of being here today. The privilege of being able to have your word in front of us. Lord, teach us. Teach us the things we need to know and that we need to apply, that your name may be honored. Thank you, Father. So in our series of exploring the lives of some of the kings of Judah, we come today to look at the reigns of Uzziah and Jotham. We'll be spending most of our time in 2 Chronicles 26 and 27, their parallel passage in 2 Kings 15. It would be good to have 2 Chronicles 26 open. The Scottish essayist Thomas Carlyle once observed that adversity is bad. We all agree with that. But then he went on. He says, but for every person that can handle prosperity, there are 100 that can handle adversity. And the life of King Uzziah illustrates Carlyle's point. Uzziah succeeded admirably, but his success led him into pride, and his pride led to a sin that in a few moments nullified years of achievement. Though he reigned 52 years and had many outstanding accomplishments, he's remembered in the scripture by the sad epitaph, he's a leper. Now, to get some context, an easy number to remember is that King David began his reign at about 1000 BC. It's a nice, easy number to remember. 1000 BC. And now, as we look at the life of Uzziah, we're at about 800 BC. So 200 years after King David. 200 years. That would be for us like, you know, not so much looking back at the life of King David from Uzziah's time, but maybe looking back at the reign of King George V. Or perhaps the treaty between Russia and Britain that established the boundary between Alaska and Canada, or the celebration of George Stephenson's Locomotion No. 1 as it became the first steam locomotive to carry passengers on a public rail line, or maybe the coronation of King Charles X of France, all about 200, give or take, 200 years ago. 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 1. All the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. So as a teenager, Uzziah was crowned as the choice of and at the insistence of the people. And he began well, likely due at least in part to the fact that one Zechariah was mentoring him. Now, this is not the prophet Zechariah. The prophet Zechariah lived about 150 years after this. But this Zechariah, I'm thinking, may have been perhaps a high priest at that time, but that's merely speculation. We really don't know anything more about this guy. Among Uzziah's military victories are listed the restoration of Elath to Judah, victories over Gath and Jabna and Ashdod, the subjugation of the Philistines, victories over Arabians living in the area of Gerbaal, and over the Maonites and the Ammonites. So he was a warrior king, but not merely a man of war. He was at heart a farmer who loved the soil. So he prepared numerous cisterns to hold water for his livestock and employed farmers and vine dressers in the hills and in the fertile lands. When Uzziah came to the throne of Judah, Jerusalem was in disarray. Because under his father Amaziah's reign, as Joy Royal pointed out last week, the king of Israel had defeated Judah and had broken down the wall of Jerusalem and had stolen the treasures of the temple and the palace. So Uzziah had to rebuild the city. And in the course of that effort, he also built watchtowers in the wilderness. And he, or the people he employed, were very creative and inventive. They designed and built catapults for stones and arrows that were installed at the towers of Jerusalem. It must have made Jerusalem into something of a fortress, because certainly these armaments went unmatched in any other nation for many, many years. And Uzziah's army was well equipped with the best of modern military technology. They had shields and spears and helmets and coats of mail, bows and stones for slinging. They were well equipped. In general, under the rule of Uzziah, Judah appears to have been quite prosperous, and other nations held Judah in high regard. Uzziah was a hard-working visionary king, and his success was due to seeking God and His Word. The word that's translated seek in 2 Chronicles 26:5 is a word that means literally to trample underfoot. The idea was that when you frequent a place, you beat a path to it. To seek the Lord means going to Him for His wisdom and help so often that you wear a path to God. And Uzziah did that, at least early in his reign. He followed Solomon's counsel. You know, from Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. The prophet Isaiah, whose calling to ministry was in the year of King Uzziah's death, chided the people for consulting mediums and spiritists and said, rather, should not a people inquire of their God? Uzziah consulted God in the beginning years of his reign, and God was faithful to prosper his reign and the people of Judah as a result. But, and in many good stories, there is a but. For Uzziah it's hinted at in this first paragraph that we just read. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. There's no question. Uzziah was a well-loved king who did a lot of good for the nation. But the seeds of his downfall started early in his reign as he tolerated evil within the nation that was designed by God to represent him to the world. The parallel passage in 2 Kings 15 puts it this way. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. Nevertheless, here's the but, the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and made offerings on the high places. Now remember, this is after the temple has been built. There's a temple in Jerusalem. And in this, Uzziah followed the pattern of Amaziah, his father, and of his grandfather Joash, and of many of the kings of Judah before them, back to Solomon, who actually built pagan shrines for his many wives. But God had warned and commanded Israel several times, "You shall tear down their altars and break their pillars and cut down their Asherim, for you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." And now Uzziah followed the practices of his fathers in contravention of the clear command of God. And then, verse 16. 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 16. When he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. For he was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. But Azariah, the priest, went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord who were men of valor. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the son of Aaron, who are consecrated." It will bring you no honor from the Lord God. Several centuries before, Korah and his company had rebelled against Moses and Aaron and had presumed to burn incense before the Lord. They paid for their presumption with their lives because the Lord God had clearly indicated that only the sons of Aaron were allowed to draw near enough to God to burn incense before him. And you can read that whole story in Numbers 16. Uzziah should have known this, but pride has a way of corrupting our memories. And reflecting on Uzziah's pride, we can see several indicators that should have been warning signs to the king and to his advisor and mentor, Zechariah. First, there's no record that Uzziah ever gave thanks to the Lord God for providing guidance in his construction efforts, or for his victory over the surrounding enemies, or for the stability of his government. And without heartfelt gratitude, it is easy to drift away from our commitment to our Lord. And likewise, there's no record of Uzziah giving credit to God for his blessings. Without doubt, that tendency, that temptation to assume that we are responsible for the good in our lives, that will inevitably lead to pride and to patting ourselves on the back. Someone observed that humans have a unique characteristic that is unknown in any other species. If you pat a person on the back, their head swells. A third indicator that all was not well between Uzziah and the Lord is Uzziah's misuse of God's blessing by seeking to become self-reliant. And it's summarized in one and a half a sentence. He was marvelously helped until he was strong. Uzziah failed to understand that he was separating himself from God as he sought to become self-reliant and independent through his wealth, his security, and his status in the eyes of other nations. Jesus had warned us, whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? What can a man give in return for his life? God doesn't want his people to struggle unnecessarily for money or wealth. But in his wisdom, he may limit a person's access to money or wealth if those things will cause a person's heart to drift from him and him to begin to feel self-reliant. I remember my mother in this regard. Mom was in a serious car accident that left her with a broken vertebra near the base of her neck, just at the collarbone area. And as a result, she lived for years with very limited head motion. Could only turn her head just a few degrees either way. That was about the extent of how she could move her head. And eventually she came to realize that although God was well able to heal her, He wasn't going to. Just because healing her would tempt Mom to become self-reliant instead of totally God-reliant. So that accident was for her a blessing in disguise and a frequent reminder to her of her Lord's faithfulness. At the end, Uzziah's pride blinded him to his own sinfulness to the point that he became angry when confronted with it. Azariah and the other priests with him, verse 18, withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah was angry. Now he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And when he became angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead in the presence of the priests in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they rushed him out quickly, and he himself hurried to go out, because the Lord had struck him. He was still living, but the Lord had struck him. Azariah was one of the few high priests to properly perform his role by serving as a check on a king who abused his power. Many of Judah's kings slid into rebellion against God without any recorded response from the priests. And ultimately, this caused all of Judah to suffer and was likely one of the factors contributing to the eventual exile of the people of Judah. In a matter of a few minutes, Uzziah's fruitful and prosperous reign was marred by his sinfulness. And Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death. And being a leper, lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's household, governing the people of the land. We don't know how long Jotham served as vice regent, but that period evidently prepared him to assume the role of king after his father died. The author of Chronicles does not have much negative to say about Jotham, except to repeat and edit the comment by the author of 2 Kings. In 2 Kings, it says that the high places were not removed. The people still sacrificed and made offerings on the high places. The author of 2 Chronicles puts it, the people still followed corrupt practices. Jotham's reign was relatively short, only 16 years contrasted with the 52 years of his father. But to that 16 years, we should likely add another, 10 years or so while he served as vice regent to his father. Like Uzziah, Jotham's reign was marked with prosperity and construction and a measure of international respect, as can be seen in the tribute the Ammonites paid for 3 successive years. 2 Chronicles 27 is quite short. The author doesn't say very much about this king. But things were not all rosy on the international scene. Assyria in the northeast was becoming a military powerhouse. And Syria and Israel, the northern kingdom, tried to get Judah to form an anti-Assyrian allegiance. But Jotham refused. And as a result, there were numerous skirmishes along the northern boundaries of Judah with Israel. And the Philistines to the west took advantage of that instability to advance their own cause against Judah. And still, neither in 2 Kings nor in 2 Chronicles is there anything negative said against the reign of Jotham. Rather, there's something of a double positive, a double commendation. In verses 2 and 6 of 2 Chronicles 27, we read, "He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord according to all that his father Uzziah had done, except that he did not enter the temple of the Lord. He ordered his ways before the Lord his God." So what are we to make of the reigns of Uzziah and of his son Jotham? Well, first, let's be sure to follow Jotham's example and to order our ways before the Lord our God. This starts with acknowledging our inability to please God apart from His working through us. We are, all of us, sinful creatures in desperate need of redemption. And that redemption we cannot buy or earn. But in His mercy and in His grace, God has provided salvation for us in Christ Jesus through His death on that ugly Roman cross and through the marvel of His resurrection. So if you don't yet know the Lord Jesus, seek Him out. There are a number of us here today who would be delighted to help you establish a living relationship with the Lord. Just ask. But even after we have secured our relationship with God by receiving the Lord Jesus as our Savior, there is much, much more. He must be our Lord and our Master too. We need to yield our will to His so that His Holy Spirit might work through us. Jesus told His first disciples on the night of His arrest, familiar passage, you probably have it half memorized, from John 15. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. And the punchline, for apart from me, you can do nothing. We need to stay close to the Lord Jesus if He is to be honored in our lives. And staying close to our Lord involves, as a minimum, spending time with Him, studying His Word, both as individuals and together with others of His people, and praying, both separately and together, and of course, gathering to worship Him together. And then put all of that into practice so that we become doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. And if you're still unsure of the path, look for godly counsel and mentorship. Uzziah prospered as long as he was in a mentoring relationship with Zechariah. But it seems that after Zechariah was no longer part of Uzziah's life, for whatever reason, maybe Zechariah died, things fell apart. And Uzziah fell into pride and to other sins. Now, typically a mentoring relationship may last for an extended period as both parties mature in the Lord. My own mentors, right after I came to the Lord, stayed with me for 2 or 3 years. One model of this kind of relationship is Timothy's with Paul. For a few years, Tim traveled with Paul and watched him and learned from him. And then at some point, as Paul was going to Macedonia, he urged Timothy to remain at Ephesus. This was First Timothy 1. Remain at Ephesus that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculation rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. And it seems we can learn valuable lessons by observing the lives of others, both positive and negative, but especially the positive ones. Although they had to be physically separate because of Uzziah's leprosy, I am sure that father and son found a way to have many talks, including sharing of the sinful attitude that caused Uzziah's leprosy and the resulting separation and loss of temple privileges. And apparently Jotham learned the lesson and was careful not to let his own pride lead him into serious sin. Not to say that Uzziah was faultless. Obviously, he did fail in some regard. He failed to take care of the high places. But generally speaking, he was a good king. Let's do everything that we can. Let's respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, so that we, like Jotham, may order our ways before the Lord our God to His glory and honor. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for bearing with us, for keeping us, for watching over us. Thank you, Father, for your incredible love that started us on this path. Now, Lord, we ask that you would continue to work in us. Continue to help us to study your word, to learn from your word, and then to apply it. That all that we are might bring you glory and honor and praise. That we might be faithful representatives, faithful witnesses and ambassadors for the Lord Jesus. And we ask it all in His precious name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Come back next week for the next Sunday morning message from Bible Fellowship Assembly. Visit us on the web at bfa.church, where you will find our physical address and contact information. We'd love to see you if you are in the Timmins area, or drop us a line at info@bfa.church. Until next time.